This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, powered by the Family Research Council, your embassy of faith, family, and freedom in the heart of our nation's capital. Now, here's your host, FRC President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. It's, it's good to be back behind the microphone after a couple of weeks away. Many thanks to Russ Jones for doing a great job filling in while I was undergoing detox of information and news. I disconnected from all media, did not read the newspapers, did not turn on cable television. I just basically read my Bible, spent time with my family, and prayed. Had a great time. I recommend it. Highly recommend it once a year just to kind of go through that information detox. It's good. Good for the soul, good for the mind. Well, this month marks the fifth year since we launched Washington Watch back in 2013. That's, you do the math, and Russ did the math. That's 1,300 live daily radio shows. And let me just say, we couldn't do it without your support, so I want to say thank you. Thank you for being faithful listeners to Washington Watch. I especially want to thank our listeners who, at the end of the year, partnered with us financially to keep Washington Watch on the air. Thank you so much for partnering with us, and we continue to seek partners across the country to be a part of what we're doing here in Washington, D.C. By the way, we are gearing up for tomorrow's big Religious Freedom Day. It's 232 years since the Virginia Statute of Religious Freedom, authored by Thomas Jefferson, was passed. That became the model and the inspiration for the First Amendment to the Constitution. And tomorrow marks that day. And so we're going to, we're kind of a special simulcast broadcast of Washington Watch. Not only will we be here on your normal radio station, we'll also be on Facebook, simulcasting it on Facebook. We have a great lineup of guests before a live audience at our headquarters in Washington, D.C. We'll have Oklahoma Senator James Lankford. We'll have Evangelist Alveda King, niece of the late Dr. Martin Luther King, Ryan Bomberger, and former Congressman Frank Wolf, all, as I said, in front of a live audience at our D.C. headquarters. So that's tomorrow, so tune in and also invite a friend to tune in for that special Religious Freedom Day broadcast tomorrow here on Washington Watch. But on today's show, is there a perfect political storm brewing that could cause the Republicans to lose their majority in the 2018 midterm elections? Of course, that could then jeopardize President Trump's presidency and his policy agenda. We'll talk about that with researcher and pollster Scott Rasmussen. He's also rolled out a new scorecard that will keep track of the Senate, House, and gubernatorial races, and he'll tell us all about that as well. And today, we celebrate the life of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., a day for the slain civil rights leader that is observed across the country. We'll talk with Reverend Dean Nelson, who was at the White House on Friday when President Trump signed a proclamation honoring Dr. King. And about 2 in 3 American adults say fabricated news stories cause a great deal of confusion about the basic facts of current affairs, according to a recent Pew Research Center report. Tim Graham, director of media analysis at the Media Research Center, will join us to discuss the growing lack of trust in the news media and what that could mean going forward. And we'll be taking your phone calls a little bit later here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com, so check that out. If you've got something you want to send me, Tony@TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is @TPerkins. All right. In an article published on Axios, reporter Mike Allen reports that, quote, the one thing that could dramatically diminish President Trump's chances of avoiding impeachment and chalking up legislative wins is Democrats winning the House. Now, a lot can happen between now and the 2018 midterm elections. Joining us now is Scott Rasmussen. He is the publisher of ScottRasmussen.com and the editor-at-large of Ballotpedia, the Encyclopedia of American Politics. His most recent book is Politics Has Failed Us, America Will Not. Scott is the founder of the Rasmussen Reports, co-founder of ESPN, a New York Times bestselling author, a public speaker, and syndicated columnist. Scott, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, it's always good to be with you, and I just have to start by disagreeing with you on something. You know, your big celebration tomorrow of the Virginia resolution, I think, is entirely appropriate. But really, we need to remember that everything that we have, all the rights in America, weren't created by a bunch of people in Virginia or the colonies. That they grew out of practical experience dating back centuries to the Magna Carta. And I think that's especially important to remember in today's world, because so many people were attacking the founding fathers and saying, why should we listen to their generation? It was hundreds and hundreds of years of practical experience that gave us the understanding of why religious freedom is so important.
Well, and there was clearly in the Declaration an understanding this was an inalienable right.
Absolutely.
And this was one that they recognized. In fact, I think that's why it was not in the original Constitution, because it was basically given that this was a right to be protected. But Virginia had taken the steps to put that into statute. And so Madison and others agreed to it, and it became our First Amendment. And it's pretty fascinating. I love to tell the story, and I don't want to get off track here because we got some important things to talk about. But I went to the National Archives a number of years ago with a member of Congress, went back into the what they call the vault where uncirculated documents are. And I saw the Senate markup of the House amendments. There were actually 17 that came over from the House to the Senate. The Senate chopped up some of them, got rid of a couple, whittled it down to 12. And, of course, two were rejected, and we ended up with 10. 12 were rejected. Two were rejected, not totally. 1 year later, almost 200 years later, it was passed. But The important thing is the first enumerated right was a personal right, was a standalone statement of an understanding of the freedom of religion and the rights of conscience. And that came over from the House. And so that was above the media, that was above property, that was above everything else, was an understanding of the freedom of religion. Very important.
And Tony, I didn't mean to downplay what happened, but I do think it's really important what you said, is that these rights were assumed. These were the attitudes that colonists thought they were fighting for in the American Revolution. And even Thomas Jefferson, when he wrote the Declaration of Independence, said he was just giving voice to the sentiment that was out there. And I think that weight, you know, of our long, centuries-long heritage going back to the Magna Carta is really important to recognize as to why these virtues and values held up so well.
Point well taken. These are not rights that were created by our founding fathers. They were recognized by our founding fathers.
Correct.
Well, let's talk about today's politics. The reports out saying the president could be in trouble because it looks like the House could be shifting hands. What are you seeing out there across the nation? Is there a shift of power in the future for the House of Representatives?
Well, almost certainly Democrats will gain seats in the midterm elections, and that's not something unusual because President Trump is in office. It almost always happens in midterm elections. The question is, how big will that wave be? How many seats can the Democrats pick up? At ScottRasmussen.com, we've gone through, we post a race-by-race rating. So you take a look at all the individual races rather than the aggregate numbers and the political mood. And if we had to guess today with a good Democratic turnout, you know, in other words, a typical midterm election-type turnout, the Democrats would end up just a little bit short of majority control. They would gain enough seats to get to 213 votes. They need 218 seats to win a majority. Now, that number is, you know, not nearly as secure as it sounds because we are 10 months away. A lot can happen. There are 19 additional Republican races that are competitive enough that in a very strong Democratic year, they could flip and the Democrats could end up with a very solid majority. Anybody who claims to know exactly which side will control the Congress at the end of November's elections is being a little bit ahead of the curve at this time. It is very much a race to be determined.
But as you pointed out, Scott, historically, the ruling party, the majority party, has lost seats in a midterm election. That sure. happens almost every cycle. Americans tend to like divided government, don't they?
Americans like to put Americans like, you know, on the one hand, we'd all like efficiently to get done all the things that we happen to believe in, but we have a much greater sense that it's better to prevent too much efficiency in government than anything else. I think it's also important, Tony, we talk about this. Even with the House of Representatives, where all the districts are roughly the same size, pretty proportional to population all across the country, it's not really the American people at large that are deciding this. There are only 45 congressional races in the country that are at some degree competitive today. So 90% of Americans are living in districts that we already know if they're going to go to the Republicans or the Democrats. This race for control will be decided in a handful of districts. And, you know, that's not unusual in this year. Most districts are drawn to be in favor of one party or the other. But sometimes we tend to ignore that fact when we put too much analysis into the meaning of, you know, the particular swing that took place in an election year. I think our nation right now remains closely divided in political terms. There's a number of people who are happy that Donald Trump is president. There are a number of people who are horrified by the idea that Donald Trump is president. The most interesting group demographically in the population are the people that I would call reluctant Trump supporters. These are people who disapprove of the president, but are happier that he's in the White House rather than Hillary Clinton. You know, they like Neil Gorsuch on the Supreme Court. They like the tax cut bill that came through. Where these voters end up on Election Day in November is very likely to have a huge impact on the final result.
Well, you mentioned that yesterday, I think it was yesterday, Gallup, or maybe it was today, Gallup released a poll that talked about 61% of Republicans are satisfied with the direction of the country. That's the highest level of satisfaction in a decade, according to their research. Obviously, as you pointed out, the Democrats not happy. They're very dissatisfied. But independents are somewhat satisfied. And so the things don't look all that horrible for the president. And as we saw in this last election, it is extremely hard to predict what could come.
That's right. And, you know, one of the things that bothers me about the political dialogue in the last year has been the amount of energy spent talking about the president per se. I mean, we always talk about the president a lot, but there has been a tremendous amount of discussion about his behavior, his characteristics. And there were two things that have been ignored by that obsession. One is, what were the voters that voted for him trying to tell us? You know, what was the message they were looking to send? And I think the second is, what has really changed? While the legislative achievements took a while to get going, the mandate for Obamacare was repealed and a tax cut bill was passed. There have been significant steps taken to reduce the regulatory burden on business and on the American mm-hmm. people. And these were things that voters were looking to have accomplished. Yeah. So while a number of people may not be happy with the way the president tweets or some other things that go on, the results have been much more in line with what the public was looking for.
I think it's reluctant support is kind of how I would describe it. Scott, always great to have you on. Look forward to having you on again real soon. I'll encourage people to check out your website so they can look at that scorecard. Scott, thanks so much. Talk to you soon. Folks, don't go away. We're back after this with more Washington Watch.
What does sex trafficking, abortion, and pornography have in common? A lot, as it turns out, and all three are on the rise across the world. Today, almost 45.8 million people live in slavery around the world, and around 4.5 million people are slaves in the sex industry. Those who consume pornography are much more likely to seek women for paid sex, many of whom are victims of sex trafficking. Each click of pornography creates demand for more pornography and brings in a profit to the sex industry. The demand causes traffickers, pimps, and those involved in the sex industry to abuse their victims by filming them in sex acts. To learn more about the link between these issues and to find out how you can help stop it, go to frc.org/traffic. Again, that's frc.org/traffic.
Gender reassignment surgery. Once rare and unusual, it is now becoming more and more common. Across the nation, transgender activists are pushing for this costly, extreme, and unproven procedure to be declared medically necessary so that it can be paid for with taxpayer dollars. The problem for these activists is that the evidence is not on their side. In 2016, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services examined 33 studies on the subject and declared that there was not enough evidence to determine whether gender reassignment surgery improved health outcomes. One study found that those who had undergone gender reassignment surgery showed a suicide rate that was 19 times higher than the general population. Declaring gender reassignment surgery to be medically necessary is not only inaccurate, but dangerous. To view FRC's full report on this important issue, visit frc.org/surgery. Again, that's frc.org/surgery.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. A candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. A senior director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Here, Mr. Arnakis discusses the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along. The website, TonyPerkins.com. And by the way, we had Scott Rasmussen on talking about the midterm elections. As I mentioned, he has the scoreboard, election 2018 scoreboards, and you can find out more about that. You can go to TonyPerkins.com, follow the links over, or ScottRasmussen.com. And very insightful. I trust Scott's work. He does good work. All right. This year, the year 2018, marks 50 years, half a century, since Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee, having gone to the city to support a strike by sanitation workers. And today, there are celebrations honoring Dr. King all across the country. Federal holiday now. The life of the civil rights leader, many in the mainstream media want to kind of make over, leaning on his title of doctor and ignoring his calling as reverend. His love of God and of Jesus and his preaching of the gospel. On Friday, President Donald Trump signed a proclamation declaring today Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Several African-American leaders and Trump supporters were present at the event, including our next guest, who is with us, the Reverend Dean Nelson. He is the National Outreach Director for the Human Coalition and also a part of the Watchman on the Wall network of pastors with the Family Research Council. Dean, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, thanks so much. It's great to be with you on an important day in America.
Well, let's talk first about the event on Friday there when you were with the president when he signed this proclamation. I read the president's statement. Quite honestly, I thought it was a very impactful statement that the president made in support of Martin Luther King. He said that this year we will not remember Dr. King's slaying as the ending, but as a beginning, as a moment when his truth rose stronger than hatred and his cause larger than death, as a moment when he called to new life with his Creator, before whom all men shall one day stand in equal rank, bearing with them no riches but the content of their character. Pretty strong statement.
It was a strong statement, and in addition to that, President Trump highlighted Dr. King not as anything else, not even his civil rights attributes, more than he emphasized him as a Christian minister of the gospel. And I think that that is something that is oftentimes forgotten, particularly even if you were to visit the monument for Dr. King in Washington, D.C. It doesn't even at that monument ascribe him as a preacher of the gospel, the very thing that he said he wanted to be known for.
Yeah, there's been a lot of controversy over that. And when you read his speeches, obviously I wasn't around to listen to them, but I've read them. And I'll have to say, I mean, he was one of America's greatest orators in his preaching and his ability to communicate in the way in which he spoke. But he moved the nation. He moved the nation to correct a fundamental wrong that had been kind of left unaddressed.
He did. And, you know, I can't help but to be reminded of the imagery that he used on that great day that he preached at the Lincoln Memorial, when he described our nation and described as a check that needed to be cashed, one that promised that needed to be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. Because what he was asking of our country was simply to give the full rights to individuals who have been discriminated against. And he wasn't asking for special rights. He was simply calling America to its highest standard. And I think that that is a call that any person, and certainly ministers of the gospel, can get behind even today.
You mentioned as a minister of the gospel, I mean, what gave him the foundation, I believe, the inspiration and the moral authority to address the evil of this racial divide and hatred that was in the country was the fact that he was a minister of the gospel. It was that religious freedom that gave him, I think, the moral authority to take on something that was, I believe, the most significant plague over this nation.
Without a doubt, we can't talk about the civil rights movement without talking about the commitment of the church during that day to be a conscience of our nation. In fact, if you remember in Dr. King's letter from a Birmingham jail, he said just that. He said that that the church must be reminded that it is not the master nor the servant of the state, but it is called to be the conscience of the state. And if the church does not recapture that prophetic zeal, it becomes an irrelevant social club without moral or spiritual authority. And that is who he was. That's what he believed that the church was to be. And boy, we still need that today.
So we see this effort really to remake him absent, devoid of that religious content as some kind of just social, cultural crusader. And that is troubling, because what that is saying is that these types of major reformation of our culture, these major moves and shifts of our culture, can somehow be done without the element of religious conviction.
Yeah, we can look at different social movements in America today, and they certainly have borrowed tactics and principles from the civil rights struggle, but they will never have the moral authority that the civil rights movement had. In fact, when I think about some of the principles that Dr. King required of those adherents during his day, one of those was a consistency to have internal self-reflection, and particularly examining one's own motives. They would not go into a city during that day without first checking to make sure that claims of racial injustice were true, and then secondly, evaluating their own motivations for that. And that's wholly lacking in the social movements of the day, whether it's the homosexual movement that tries to borrow from the civil rights struggle, whether it is the pro-choice, pro-abortion movement that tries to borrow from it. The moral underpinnings of the civil rights struggle cannot be duplicated by any of those other movements, because they lack the moral foundation that that movement had.
Well said. Dean Nelson, thanks for joining us today. Always great to talk with you.
Bless you, sir. Thank you for the opportunity.
All right, Dean Nelson, to find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Coming up next, is there a great mistrust of the news media under the Trump presidency? News polls seem to say so. When we return, we'll talk with Tim Graham, Director of Media Analysis at the Media Research Center. That's next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Pro-Life Con is FRC's Digital Action Summit celebrating digital pro-life activism. Join us live via webcast on January 19th from FRC's headquarters in Washington. At this year's conference, you will hear from political leaders, bloggers, journalists, and activists, as well as testimonies from families and individuals who chose life. You'll be empowered to better reach your own communities by learning from those who are at the cutting edge of the digital pro-life movement. Tune in Friday, January 19th at ProLifeCon.com.
Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Urnakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Let me remind you, tomorrow, a special edition of Washington Watch will be simulcasting the event on Facebook. Same time, same place, same station. And we will be before a live radio audience at our headquarters, a media center at the Family Research Council. And we have a great lineup of speakers that will be with us. Oklahoma Senator James Lankford, who is he's now the chairman of the Senate Values Action Team, also a champion on issues of religious freedom. He'll be joining us, as well as the niece of the late Dr. Martin Luther King, Alveda King. We'll also have former Virginia Congressman Frank Wolf will be joining us, who is also a champion for religious freedom. We'll be marking the National Religious Freedom Day. So be sure and invite somebody to tune in for that. All right, two-thirds of Americans get at least some of their news from social media. Pew Research has determined that. And what's interesting, at research to be presented this week at the World Economic Forum, what they're going to reveal is that public trust in traditional media has fallen to an all-time low as people increasingly favor getting their news from friends and contacts on the Internet. This is significant. We're seeing a continued decline of people trusting the news. In fact, as the president has kind of taken on the news media as fake news, the president taking to Twitter to put out his information, a lot of people don't know where to go for what is happening and who to believe and what's true and what's not, fact from fiction. And I will say it is hard. It is hard, and you got to be careful where you get your information and how you get your information. That's why I like to go to the news sources. That's why on this program, it's driven by our guest. We invite the guest on who are newsmakers themselves,
who are on the front lines analyzing these things and can speak to them. And so you don't have there's no filter. You get it straight from the horse's mouth, as they say. And I think that's better. So what I try to do is interview those folks and get that information so you can have it firsthand. Obviously, I give my commentary and my thoughts on it, but you hear from the newsmakers themselves. That's why most every day we have members of Congress and others on Washington Watch to talk to you about the things that are happening in our nation's capital as these events are unfolding and not getting it through the media that often distorts and twists the information. Now, granted, we've talked about this, but everybody has a worldview, all right? And so you're going to get information interpret information and communicate information based upon that worldview, okay? It's a given. I mean, I'm interpreting things based on a biblical worldview. I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus Christ. I believe the Word of God. I believe it's true. And I believe that it is the model. It is the instruction book for life. And so having a biblical worldview, I look at the things that are happening in the world around me and I analyze them through Scripture. And so information you're getting here, I'm not hiding it from you. You're getting it from a biblical perspective. Now, I have the newsmakers on and they're talking about it, but clearly I'm coming at this from a biblical perspective. So if you don't like that, well, I hope you'll change your mind because it is, I believe, the proper way to look at things. A biblical worldview is looking at the world and the events around us through the lenses of not what man can do, but what God has done and what he can do. And so it looks at things much differently. And it actually, quite frankly, is a more hopeful way to look at the world around us. And I do believe we're at a crisis point when it comes to the news media. I think the news media has dug in hard to the left. And I don't believe the vast majority of what I hear. Now, you got to kind of sift through it and try to determine the facts in what you get from them. Because there's clearly a spin on the news that you get from the news media. Now, we're expecting Tim Graham to join us with Media Research Center, but we're not connected with him yet. But if we do, we'll bring him in on the program. But what caught my attention was, I'm trying to find it here, an article I had earlier. I can't put my hands on it. Let me go through my stack again. Well, I don't see it. But anyway, the public's trust of the news media is continuing to decline, which does not speak well for the media. Now, here it is. It was at the bottom of the pile, stapled to another document. Well, that music means we're up against a break, so I'm going to hold this until we get back. Then we're going to be taking your phone calls here on Washington Watch. So don't go away. We're coming back with more Washington Watch. Check out the website, TonyPerkins.com, and be sure and mark your calendars for tomorrow. Go ahead and set your clock, your timer, your alarm, so that you'll be sure and tune in tomorrow for a special edition of Washington Watch as we mark the National Religious Freedom Day. That's going to come up tomorrow here on Washington Watch. So don't go away. We're coming back with more right after this message.
Facebook post or a tweet or an Instagram picture save a life? At Family Research Council's 13th annual Pro-Life Con Digital Action Summit, pro-life activists from around the country will gather to explore the impact that digital media has on the culture of human life. Join us via live webcast from Washington, D.C. the morning of Friday, January 19th from 8:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. At this year's conference, you will hear from political leaders, bloggers, journalists, and activists, as well as testimonies from families and individuals who chose life. At the intersection of cutting-edge technology and a passion for the lives of the unborn, you'll be educated and empowered to better reach your community on social media. With this innovative information, anyone can make an impact for the pro-life movement anytime and anywhere. Also, see live coverage from the National Mall as the March for Life gets underway. Tune in on January 19th at ProLifeCon.com. Again, visit ProLifeCon.com for more information.
Gender reassignment surgery. Once rare and unusual, it is now becoming more and more common. Across the nation, transgender activists are pushing for this costly, extreme, and unproven procedure to be declared medically necessary so that it can be paid for with taxpayer dollars. The problem for these activists is that the evidence is not on their side. In 2016, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services examined 33 studies on the subject and declared that there was not enough evidence to determine whether gender reassignment surgery improved health outcomes. One study found that those who had undergone gender reassignment surgery showed a suicide rate that was 19 times higher than the general population. Declaring gender reassignment surgery to be medically necessary is not only inaccurate, but dangerous. To view FRC's full report on this important issue, visit frc.org/surgery. Again, that's frc.org/surgery.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God. But culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Monday afternoon. Good to be back behind the microphone again. I want to thank Russ Jones for filling in for us during my time away from the microphone. Had some good family time. Went camping and just kind of had some extended quiet time, which was always good. But now back to keeping you informed and helping drive the reform agenda here in our nation's capital. All right, here's the story. This is out of Raleigh, North Carolina, an AP story. Reading from the story, when truck driver Chris Gromick wants to know what's really going on in Washington, he scans the internet and satellite radio. He no longer flips TV channels because networks such as Fox News and MSNBC deliver conflicting accounts tainted by politics, he says. Quote, where is the truth? Asked the 47-year-old North Carolina resident. Answering that question accurately is a cornerstone of any functioning democracy, the story goes on to say, according to none other than Thomas Jefferson. But a year into Donald Trump's fact-bending, media-bashing presidency, this is an AP story, okay, Americans are increasingly confused about who can be trusted to tell them reliably what their government and their commander-in-chief are doing. Interviews across the polarized country, as well as polling from Trump's first year, suggest people seek out various outlets of information, including Trump's Twitter account, and trust none in particular. Many say that practice is a new Trump-era phenomenon in their lives, as the president and the media he denigrates as fake news fight to be seen as the more credible source. And the article goes on and says much, much more. It's just interesting. It almost reads more like a commentary because they actually give their opinions on the president. But anyway, that is the point, and I think the media is angry because the president, in part, is calling them out for fake news.
And I do think, I wouldn't say all the news is fake, but I would say that many in the news have an agenda that they want to make news happen rather than report what is happening. Now, I'll be very candid. I'm in the business of making news. I'm not just reporting it. And what we do here at Washington Watch is keep you informed of what's happening so you can make a difference. This is not just we're not just a news service. We are a service to the Christian community as to how to be engaged and effective in living out our faith in such a way to impact the world around us. That begins right in your neighborhood, in your community, in your state, and in this nation. We have a responsibility to do that, and we're just equipping you, giving you the right tools to do that. Anyway, I want to hear from you today. The media is getting upset that more and more Americans are turning away from the media as their source of information. So where might you get your information? Let's talk about it. Give me a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. A lot of people, according to Pew Research, a lot of people now getting their information from social media, from friends. Where are you getting your news information? Where do you go to know what is going on? Share it with our other listeners here on Washington Watch and others. Give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234, to jump in on the conversation here today on Washington Watch. Now, I will say, for me in particular, I read most of my news. And it is content that I access through the internet, different news publications, knowing where I'm going and knowing their perspective and their worldview. But then there are other conservative sites, often some of those that you hear here on Washington Watch, Christian Post, one that I mean, there's a whole lot of them, Christian Post. There is WorldNet Daily. There's CNSNews.com. Of course, we have Terry Jeffries on here quite frequently. They're a great source of information. And you can read the others. I mean, I read the New York Times, knowing, you know, what their view is, and kind of filtering through that. So there's just lots of different places. You just need to know, you know, kind of the source and you know, whether you need to take it with a grain of salt or what. All right, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Carrie in Michigan. Carrie, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. So where do you get your news and information?
Well, most of it's from the radio. And we do watch a little Fox and the news station, One News, One America News now. But I have found that from a Christian perspective, I need to have something with a bias for truth. And I this phenomenon certainly didn't start with Trump. I've noticed it for years that by watching it, particularly the big three, ABC, CBS, NBC, that, you know, that they were twisting and omitting things. Because when I listened to news from the radio, I was getting completely different perspectives. And quite often it turns out that the news from the Christian radio stations are much more accurate.
Mm-hmm.
It can be more trusted. So I pretty much have just completely eliminated any of the secular humanism media.
Well, I would have to say, Carrie, that I'm with you. That's what I have eliminated. I don't watch the major, you know, the big three, as they would call them. I can't tell you the last time I watched one of their news programs. I just don't trust what they have to say. And they only want one perspective. If they can't bash conservatives, they just ignore them. I mean, they don't talk to them. They don't interview them. They want to ignore them or bash them. Carrie, thanks so much for sharing your thoughts with us today.
All right, let's go on to let's go to Carol in Texas. Carol, welcome to Washington Watch.
Welcome back.
Well, thank you. It's good to be back.
Well, as far as my news, I cut the cable about 4 years ago, and the news that I get now, I have one news now as my homepage. I do every now and then, you know, go to Fox and read on the internet, but most of it comes from the Christian radio station. American Family Network is always on, and as far as the mainstream media news, I hate to burst their bubble, but your opinion is not news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what it is, and increasingly it's gotten that way. Carol, thanks so much for listening and for calling in. I saw the shift taking place at the right after Barack Obama was elected president. I saw this hard turn from the media where they went from reporting events to essentially becoming an advocate for the president and his agenda. And really blocking and you know, tackling when it came to the opposing views and shutting them out and trying to silence the voices of or marginalize the voices of those who would be counter to the leftist agenda. Let's stay in Texas and let's go to Bonnie. Bonnie, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you today?
I'm good. I really love your show, and thank you for sharing real news and real truth.
Well, thank you. And so you get your information from where?
Well, I read different conservative magazines. I turned away from mainstream media because they're just too manipulative, and they don't just stick to the facts. They also always want to give you their opinions. And I listened to American Family Radio programs a lot because it was recommended to me by a couple of friends a few years back. And it's just news I can trust. I listen to Fox periodically. And I also, in some of the I get a couple of magazines that I know because I've checked out the resources. And then I go online too, but I'm really careful with that. I try to make sure the sources are legitimate. And to me, you can tell if the source is legitimate or not because they don't consistently support, you know, like just a liberal viewpoint or just a conservative. They try to, you know, give something that's fairly balanced. And it's hard, but and it does. You know, people really have to make an effort to seek out the truth nowadays.
They do. Yeah, but it's important that we do that, that we go to the trouble of either number one, establishing, as you have done, a source that is that we can trust, or, you know, kind of going through an article or something that we see to make sure that it's valid and it is in fact true. Because there's nothing that would that can cause us to lose credibility more quickly than to pass something on to our social media, post it on our Facebook page or send it out as an email or Twitter or something like that. That is not true, because people who I would venture to say that many, many of our listeners on Washington Watch are people who want to be informed and as a result are influencers. And the quickest way to lose influence is to pass along bad information. So, Bonnie, you are absolutely on track in verifying and making sure that you have good, reliable sources. And it's good to remind everybody to do that. Bonnie, thanks so much for calling in today. And let me just underscore that, folks. You know, be very careful about posting some of these, you know, stories on your social media venues. I mean, you may read something and it's just infuriating, it's outrageous, and you want to pass it on as quickly as you can. Verify it first, all right? Number one, if it's coming from a reliable source that you're familiar with, you're good, all right? Somebody that you trust, that you know, that is not just putting something out there. Because I will tell you, there are some who put out these stories in such a way that they want to discredit conservatives and Christians. So
be very, very careful what you share and what information you trust. All right, let's go to Indiana, where Janice is on the line. Janice, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello.
How are you today?
Well, I'm fine, thank you.
Good. And so where do you get your information?
I get it from Christian Radio, from your program, from Jay Fekulow's program, but mainly Christian Radio. And I do, once in a while, watch the network just to see what they're saying. I'm very disappointed in public television. They have followed the same thing. And a lot of their reporting, especially when they get all excited over something, is just about like they're more like gossip columnists than journalists.
Yeah, it really, I mean, everybody has an opinion today. And it used to be reporters prided themselves in just giving the facts.
Right.
Reminds me of Joe Friday, mm-hmm. Just the facts, ma'am. They all want to be a talking head giving their opinions and make news with their comments and their quotes rather than simply reporting the news. Janice, thanks so much for calling and for listening to Washington Watch and being a Bot Radio Network listener. Appreciate you calling in today. All right, we're going to work another call with you. Let's go to Chris in North Dakota. Boy, it's got to be cold up there. Chris, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, it's 5 below out here. So my wife's a journalist, and we discuss news and sources quite a bit. We try to stay off of social media, or as we call it, face trash. And I read the Wall Street Journal, have found them to be quite factual.
Yeah,
and also look at the National Review and the Federalist from time to time.
I would validate all of those. I think they are good. Wall Street Journal is good. They have issues. They cover issues other than just the financial issues. So they are a good source, reliable source. You know, probably the most conservative in orientation when it comes to a major publication like that. Chris, stay warm up there in North Dakota, okay? It's the only state of the nation I have not been to is North Dakota, and they continually invite me there in the winter. And I'll tell you, I'm not going. This guy from Louisiana is not going to North Dakota in the wintertime. Anyway, all right, sorry, we're not going to get to the rest of the calls. We're just about out of time. Let me remind you, by the way, you can continue this conversation. You can email me, tony@tonyperkins.com, or you can post it at Tony Perkins at T Perkins, rather, on Twitter. Let me remind you, tomorrow, be sure and tune in. Invite a friend to tune in as well, as we have a special simulcast program tomorrow night dealing with religious freedom. Tomorrow, National Religious Freedom Day. Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma will be joining us, former Virginia Congressman Frank Wolf as well, and many others. So you, make plans now to join us, please. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, when he says, you've done everything you can do, and you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand. By all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit tonyperkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. Again, that's 1-866-372-7234. 372-7234.